Cool. Thanks for that, Jess. Welcome, everybody, to the first Thursday night public meeting of Semester 2. Who's excited to be here? Yeah. It seems like we're all a bit tired. It's getting a bit late in the night. 6:30 is tough for some people. But it's great to be here, right? I mean, personally, I've enjoyed this week much more than I've enjoyed the last few weeks where you guys haven't been around, because you uni students do make my job a little bit more exciting. And so it's great. It's great to see you all here. And yes, if you can have your outline open to Matthew 6, and even if you have a Bible as well, I'm going to go a few other places in the Bible, but not too many. So if you have that open, that'd be great. And I'll just lead us in prayer before we look at God's Word. So if you'd like to join me. Lord, we thank you for the chance to come together and hear your Word and hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, we pray that as we look at your Scriptures tonight, that you'd be giving us wisdom, and that you'd be allowing us to focus and pay attention, and that we would really be able to get heaps out of this. And through this, we'd be able to follow you more and more and give you more and more glory every day. Amen. Well, yes, so as we just had read out by Jess, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this is happening kind of over the next 4 weeks at Credo. So next 4 weeks at Credo, we'll be looking at Lord's Prayer. And this is one of probably the most read parts of possibly even the English language, right? It's certainly what the most said prayer in all of kind of Christianity over the history. And to give you an idea of exactly how popular this prayer is, linguists actually use this prayer, right? And they use it to compare different languages to each other, right? Just because this prayer is so well known by the entire kind of Western world and even beyond that, this, you know, and the problem we have with this, right? The problem we have with it so well known is that we just kind of read it off, right? You just kind of read it off and you don't think about it. It's like that, you know, it's like your favorite song that you just kind of sing along to. And then kind of 6 months after singing along to it, you realize that the words are kind of dodgy and you don't want to sing along to it anymore. You know, because you just haven't been paying attention, right? You've been singing these words, you care less what they are. And then all of a sudden you pay attention and, I didn't want to sing that. So hopefully this isn't the case with Lord's Prayer. Hopefully it's something we want to pray. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the first line, so Our Father in Heaven. But just before I do that, we're going to do a little bit of background into where this appears. And so at the Lord's Prayer, it appears twice in your Bibles. Right? So once in the part we had read for us in the Gospel of Matthew, and then the other time, it's kind of a shortened version in the Gospel of Luke. So Luke chapter 11 is where it appears, if you want to kind of look up that version. And what happens is with this kind of version, Matthew, it's kind of in the middle of one of Jesus' sermons. Right, so Jesus is saying a sermon. He's got all these crowds kind of following him. And so what he does is he walks up the side of a mountain and he calls his disciples to him and he starts to talk to them. Right, but now, have any of you been on peak hour trains where you actually, you know, someone has an interesting phone call or an interesting conversation? Right, that's kind of like what's happening here, right? Because what happens is when someone's talking about something interesting, when there's heaps of other people around, everyone kind of leans in a little bit. You know, and they make sure they're all trying to hear. And you look up from reading your MX and you're doing the puzzles or reading Overheard or something. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. And you make sure, right, that you're hearing what's happening. This is kind of what's happening here, right? So the crowds that are following Jesus, they're all kind of leaning in. They're all kind of gathering around as well. And so what Jesus is, he doesn't want to kind of deny them or anything. So he talks to his disciples, but he talks loud enough so that other people can hear as well. So that's kind of the context we've got. And we kind of reach this point of sermon, right? And here, Jesus talks about how we should pray. And so before he kind of starts his prayer, he says, this is how we should pray, right? And now what Jesus is doing is he's kind of giving us a guideline, right? So the Lord's Prayer isn't some kind of mantra you want to repeat over and over again. It's not like if you say it before your normal prayer, God will start listening to you. It's not like if you say it every day, you're going to be saved. Right, if this is kind of a guideline, and it gives us some kind of hints as to what we should be praying for. Right, and so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to kind of see that and explore those kind of hints a little bit more. And if Jesus is God's Son, right, Jesus is God Himself come to earth, then it's probably a good idea to follow His hints when we want to pray to God the Father, because that just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Right, you want to relate to God, well, listen to God about how He says to relate to God. And so, as I said earlier, we're going to look at the first line, which is Our Father in Heaven. And it makes sense to start a prayer with this, doesn't it? All right? Because you want to be sure about who you're talking to, right? And so if I want to walk in the room and I want to talk to, let's say, Ben or someone else, I don't walk in and kind of just address everyone and go, hey, how's it going? Right? I kind of look at Ben and I go, hey, Ben, how's it going, mate? Right? We kind of address, kind of look at and address the person we kind of want a response from. And Jesus is doing that here, right? This is kind of an addressing line to the sermon. So it's saying, actually, we're going to talk to our Father in heaven right now. And so, right, not only is it nice to address the person you're talking to, but the person you're addressing actually has kind of some input as into what you're going to say, right? So you don't just kind of walk up to someone and just tell them your embarrassing secrets if you don't know them, right? So you don't kind of walk up to someone and go, hi, how's it going? My name's Matt. I can't multiply things by two. Right? You just kind of leave that until you know the person a bit better. Right? But let's say you're talking to your tutor. Hi, my name's Matt. I can't multiply things by two. It might make a bit more sense, right? They can help you out with that. And I'm hoping you're all at uni, so you can all multiply things by two and you don't need a tutor for that. But as in, you know, it makes sense, doesn't it? Right? Why do you talk to your boss about getting a day off? Why do you talk to your uni lecturers about an extension assignment? Well, because it relates to them. And so Jesus prays, starts his prayer with our Father in heaven, right? And as I said, that's who he's addressing. And Jesus here means God, right? He means God the Father, right? All throughout this kind of sermon, Jesus refers to God as your Father, right? Sometimes it's your Father in heaven. Other times it's your Heavenly Father, or your Father who, you know, sees what is done in secret, or your Father who is unseen, right? And Jesus addresses God as a Father, and he addresses him as he's in heaven. So what do we kind of learn about God from this line, and how does this kind of affect our prayers? And so we're going to, as you can see on your outline, it's pretty simple. We're going to look at what it means for God to be our Father, what it means for him to be in heaven, and then what those two kind of facts mean for our prayers. And so first up is our Father, right? And so it's important to note that the God of the Bible, he is a Father, right? And he's the Father of all the people who follow him. Right, now, notice God isn't my Father. God isn't Jesus' Father. God isn't your Father, but he's our Father, right? As in, God has a family, and it's bigger than just you. It's bigger than just Jesus. And this kind of language, it extends the whole way through the prayer, right? So you have our Father in heaven. You have, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. God the Father is the Father of all his followers, right? Not just kind of the good ones, not just the experienced ones that have been around for a while. There's not, you know, a kind of certain top number and then everyone slips out. If you're a follower of Jesus, God is your Father. And now, Jesus' original hearers, they would have known this, right? So God is referred to as a Father in the Old Testament. It happens 14 times, but God's never referred to as a Father individually. So God's always referred to the Father of the whole nation of Israel, right? And so this idea wouldn't have been that uncommon. However, it wouldn't have been very common either, right? So as in, God's normally referred to, you know, as the one who led us up out of Egypt, or Almighty Lord, or kind of I Am, or something like that. However, in the four Gospels, right, so the four Gospels you have in your Bible, Jesus refers to God as Father 60 times. So that is four times, you know, in four books, there's four times the amount of times referred to as Father than in the whole Old Testament, kind of two-thirds of your Bible. And so Jesus is kind of signaling a new way of relating to God, right? This language wouldn't have been uber weird. And another interesting thing to note is this is actually the first time God is referred to as a Father during prayer, right? So never before in the Bible, kind of chronologically, is God referred to as a Father during prayer. And so even though language isn't uber weird, the place where it's used is, right? And the Jewish people, they simply wouldn't have done this because that's not the way they relate to God, right? So think about the Jewish people at the time. How did they relate to God? Well, they had laws. They had obedience. They had animal sacrifices. God doesn't, you know, a father, sorry, doesn't relate to his son or his children like that, right? There's kind of more love there. And so for Jesus to be saying this is kind of a big deal, right? It's kind of lifting him up out of kind of an honoured and loved kind of servant of God position into God's family, right? Who's on a, you know, obviously loved and cared for, and get some family benefits as well. And we know that Jesus has every right to do this, don't we? Right? That is kind of, if we read the Bible, it just makes sense. Jesus is God the Son, right? The Son of the Father. Earlier in Matthew, when Jesus is baptized, this is what God declares about Jesus. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Right? However, Jesus says, our Father. Right? So it's not just, God isn't just Jesus' Father, he's our Father as well. And, you know, if you're a disciple of Jesus, then God is your Father. And I've repeated this so much because it is a massive, massive privilege. Right? The Lord of all, you are his son or his daughter, sorry. And the Apostle Paul kind of explains this point a bit in his letter to the Ephesians. I'll read it out for you, but if you want to write down the verse that I'm quoting from, it's chapter 1 in Ephesians, verses 5 to 8. And this is what Paul says. He, who's God, destined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Right, and so how are you God's child? Well, you're made God's child by Jesus and his death and resurrection. All right, by having faith, by trusting in Jesus and his saving work that he's done, you are brought into God's family. And later on in this kind of chapter of Ephesians, Paul talks about our inheritance we have because of this and, you know, the blessings we have because of this as well. And so God is our Father, right? He's made our Father through the work Jesus has done. But he's also in heaven, right? Now, and once again, this is pretty obvious from Jesus. You know, it's a bit like, duh, Jesus, thanks a lot, right? God isn't around here, right? So it's pretty obvious it's not our Father on earth, right? He's somewhere else, and he's our Father in heaven. It's kind of like if someone came up to you and said, did you know that, you know, Sydney University, that's in Sydney? You're kind of like, well, thanks, yeah. Sydney University is in Sydney. I could have worked that out, thanks. You know, like it's kind of an obvious statement, but there's a bit more to this statement, right? There's a bit more to in heaven. And what it's pointing out is God, right? God isn't just some, you know, the ducks of the kind of course. God isn't a superhero or anything like that. He's the creator, he's sovereign, he's powerful, and he's kind of beyond our control and understanding. He's in heaven. And I mean, this is a great point as well, isn't it? Right? Your Father is the ruler of all things, of heaven and of earth, right? And it's just fantastic, you know? If you're a Christian, you are a son or daughter of the one who rules over everything. And so if this point kind of brings up kind of, you know, a bit of an age-old question, which is, if God is in charge, if God is sovereign, why do we bother telling him stuff? Why do we even bother praying to him, right? And the answer is, well, because God is in charge, right? And God is sovereign. God can actually do stuff about it, right? If we go back to the example of your uni lecturers and your boss, why do you ask uni lecturers for an extension of assignment? Because they can give it, right? Why do you ask your boss for a day off? Because they have the authority to do that, to give you a day off. So it makes sense. If God rules over everything, you can ask him for anything, right? And so God's sovereign, right? We can ask God for whatever we want. And so what do these two kind of facts mean for our prayers, right? And I think that if you really understand God being a father, your prayers start to become more easy and a kind of more natural thing to do, right? They stop kind of being hard. However, the first point to address is, I know hearing God as a father mightn't be easy for all of you, right? Because you don't have that good fathers here on earth, right? I've been immensely blessed. I have a great father, right? My father loves me. He cares for me. He sacrifices stuff. He doesn't always show it, but I know that I can go up to my father with whatever I want and he will be there and he will listen. But I realize that not everyone has been as blessed as I am. And I'd just like to say here that God isn't like your earthly father, right? God is good. God is loving. God is kind. He is patient. He is forgiving. And let me tell you, if you have a bad earthly father, please don't think that because God is a father, he's exactly like your dad here, right? God is a good father. And so please don't judge God on what your earthly father is like. And so, as I said, God is a good father. And then so how do we kind of relate to him? How do we relate to him in prayer? And we don't want to look at a master-servant relationship or a boss-employee relationship to see how we should relate to God. We want to look at a healthy relationship between a father and his son, right? God isn't kind of that universal lecturer that marks you ridiculously hardly, you know? You put the semicolon in the wrong spot, mark off. Like, God's not doing that, right? We have mission coming up, right? Let's say you invite some friends to mission and all of them say no. God's not going to sit there and go, oh, you didn't get anyone to mission. Too bad. I was going to reward you, but now I can't because you didn't get anyone, right? God isn't hung up on that kind of stuff. God isn't counting our failings. You know, feel free to invite people, and if they say no, well, then there's nothing you could have done about it. God's still happy that you invited people to kind of mission. And so, especially with prayer, kind of how does a son ask his father for stuff, right? How does a daughter ask their parents for stuff? And what they come up and they say, Dad, can I have this? Or Dad, can you help me with this? Or Dad, can you do this for me, right? You know, there's kind of love, there's respect there. And, you know, there's intimacy as well, right? And what does a good father do, right? They don't just kind of ignore the kid. They turn around and they listen. And the same is true with God, right? When you pray to him, God listens. You don't need to kind of do a special dance or a special chant to start talking to God, right? As in, you just say, God, my Lord, and he starts listening to you. Right, you've got his attention. And Jesus kind of earlier in what we had read repeats this fact to us, right, before he says the prayer. So earlier, from verse 7, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We don't need to use a rehearsed words. We don't need to kind of write down our prayer and make sure there are no mistakes. Right? If it doesn't come out quite right, that's fine. Right? God will still listen to your prayers. And this fact in particular has made a massive difference to me. Right? So I became a Christian around end of year 12, first year university, somewhere around there. And when I first became a Christian, I was like, well, God, you know, he's really powerful, so I've got to make stuff really good for him. Right? And as someone who doesn't always have the best grasp on the English language, I'm not a great public speaker, I thought, you know, God, there's no way on earth God is going to listen to my prayers. No way, you know, I forget words, I mispronounce things, I mix them up. There's no way I'm eloquent enough. And I heard other people who've been Christian for ages praying, and they were way better than me, right? Way better. And for me, prayer just became kind of this tough, tough task, right? This thing that was just kind of hanging over my head, and I had to do it because I knew it was good, but I really, really didn't want to, right? And then I kind of realized this fact, and not immediately, but pretty quickly, my whole attitude to prayer and the whole way I did prayer turned around, right? All of a sudden, it wasn't hard. It wasn't this kind of chore, right? I knew that it was fine if I stuffed up the words. It was fine if I just asked him and didn't, you know, say anything extra or say anything wonderful. That's all right. God listened to it, right? And I knew that he wasn't just kind of ignoring my prayer because, you know, I forgot someone's name or something like that. And so let me tell you right now, if prayer is kind of hard and prayer is kind of a chore for you, and it always has been, this kind of fact might help you out heaps, right? I'm not saying realizing this is a kind of cure-all for your prayers or anything like that, but God is your Father, right? He loves hearing from you. It doesn't matter if your prayer is a little bit stuffed up. It doesn't matter if you forget the words. It doesn't matter if you mix them up. God loves you, and he wants to hear from you, right? And the best thing about God is he's available 24/7, right? Whenever you need to talk to him, God's there and listening. Right? God doesn't get kind of stressed out from a day at work. He's like, oh, just let me sit on the couch for an hour and then you can come back. Right? God doesn't need to take a nap. It's not like he's not available in between the hours of kind of 12 and 7 in the morning. Right? God's always there and he's always willing to listen to you. Right? And it doesn't matter if kind of I'm praying and you're praying as well, right? God, unlike me, he can multitask. Right, so it doesn't matter if everyone in this room is praying. Everyone in this room has God's attention, right? And so this is kind of great. You can, anytime, anywhere, no matter what's happening, you can go to God in prayer and you can just tell him things, right? And it's natural just to tell him what's going on with your life because he's your father and he cares about you, right? But not only is God willing to listen, but God's also willing to answer as well. And now, this might be yes sometimes, and this might be no, right? And kind of we all know that a parent that always says no to their child isn't a very good father or mother, right? As in, hey, dad, mom, I haven't eaten for a week. Can I eat? Well, no, sorry. Go and find your own food. Oh, dad, mom, I'm out in the street. I need a place to stay. No, you can't stay here. Sorry. You know, but let me tell you that a parent that always says yes to their child is possibly just as bad, right? So, hey, mom, dad, can I play soccer on the road with a blindfold on? No, you can't. You'll get run over, right? That's how a parent should respond, right? A parent says yes or no depending on what's best for their child, right? That's how a parent acts. And sometimes you don't even have to ask a parent for something. They know what's best for you and they just give it, right? The same thing with God. And, right, this isn't just kind of in a heavenly abstract way, you know? Like, it's not just kind of, I'll forgive your sins and make sure you have a place in heaven, even though he does do that, right? And that's important. It's not just that, right? God is also concerned about stuff that's happening on earth, right? And later on in kind of Matthew chapter 6, at verse 31, Jesus says this. So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God knows what you need, right? He knows what you need, right? If you need food, then God's going to give you food. If you need some clothes or some shoes, God's going to give you that. Even if you just need a car, right? God's going to give you a car. But remember, you aren't a kind of spoiled 16-year-old brat. Like, your food might be a modest dinner, a modest breakfast, instead of, you know, a five-course kind of buffet banquet. You know, you might get some Dunlop Volleys instead of those, you know, cute little $500 designer shoes. You might kind of get, you know, a Toyota Corolla instead of a Lamborghini Diablo or something like that. God will provide for your needs, but on the same part, he's not going to spoil you either. Right, and now, kind of last thing I want to say tonight is what I've been saying is it's really directed at Christians, right? Because to be kind of God's son or daughter, you need to follow Jesus. Right, and I just want to say if you're in this room and you're a non-Christian, right, don't think that God hates you because you're not in his family, right? Please don't think that. God loves you, right, and he cares deeply about you, right? And he actually cares so much that he sent his son down to die and be risen again so that you could be part of his family, right? It's not like God has limited resources and there's kind of a cap that he puts on his family. You can come into as well. God actually loves it when people are brought into his family. And so if you're a non-Christian tonight, I beg of you, please investigate Jesus, right? Please look into his claims, do it with a neutral mind, right? And just actually find out what he's about. Because I did this and I was convinced that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And I'm pretty convinced you'll be as well. So please come up and ask me questions, ask the person who brought you, ask the person sitting next to you, whatever. Investigate it. That would be fantastic, right? And so kind of to wrap up tonight, what have we learned? Well, God loves it when you pray to him, right? He wants to hear from you and he wants to give you good gifts, right? And the best gift of all that he can give you guys is to be adopted into his family and to spend an eternity with him. And so my prayer for all of you guys is that that would be kind of your fate and your future. And so I'll just finish up with some prayer because God loves it when we pray to him. And then I'll hand back over to Ben. So if you'd join with me. Lord, we thank you that you're our Father. We thank you that you sent Jesus Christ down to die on the cross for us and to be risen again so that we could be a part of your family. And Lord, we pray that we would never forget this, that we would always know that you love us and you care for us. And Lord, we ask that you would always do what's best for us and that no matter what happens, we would always remain a part of your family. Amen.